I loved this. There was like a big metal swing thing that they swang on, and that was fun. Swang, is it? Swang. What's the past tense of swing?
Is it swinged?
Swung?
No, that sounds even worse. Swung. Okay, swung. It's swung. Swung.
Swang.
See, as we've said before, we're just as bad at speaking English as we are at all the other languages.
We truly are. And, like, English is a garbage language, so. We don't even know. We don't even know.
Yeah, no. Hello, everyone, and welcome to Two White Girls Talk Bollywood. I'm Kim.
And I'm Katie, and we're here to actually talk about singing, more specifically rapping, dancing, and Bollywood boys.
Yeah, Bollywood boys who rap.
They do.
This one does.
The Gully Boy.
The Gully Boy. Welcome. Yes. He raps. That's the tagline. I promise we have more intellectual things to say about this movie.
So many themes are explored.
Lots to talk about. Yeah, I really enjoyed it too. It went in directions that I wasn't necessarily expecting it to go in.
Yeah.
And the soundtrack was really good. And I thought everyone gave really amazing performances. Ranveer was awesome. Alia Bhatt was awesome.
Yes. Kalki showed up.
She was great. I love her. Love to see her. And Siddhant Chaturvedi, who played Cher,
yes,
was also really good.
I liked his vibe.
He did have a good vibe.
Yeah. So we watched Gully Boy.
We did.
Obviously.
Yes.
Which was written and directed by our girl, Zoya Akhtar, our woman.
Yeah. She is that.
She is that. And yeah, starred, we've already talked about most of the actors, but I'm going to run through them again. Starring Ranveer Singh as Morad, Alia Bhatt as Safina, Siddhant Chaturvedi as Cher, and Kalki Kochlin as Sky.
Mm-hmm.
Also, Safina's parents looked familiar to me.
They were both in Dildonakdato.
Okay, thank you. I was like, I can't place it, but I know I've seen both these actors before. Thank you.
I think her dad was Farhan Akhtar's dad, and her mom was Priya's mother-in-law, I think.
Yeah. Yes, okay. So, yeah, are we ready to get started?
I'm ready to just, yeah, let's get right into it.
All right. I know. I feel like there's a lot to talk about, but we need the context of the film in order to talk about it. So,
indeed.
Cool. We open with a guy named Moeen, because it's just easier to say everybody's names right off the bat.
Yeah.
Stealing a car with the reluctant help of two friends, Murad, played by Ranveer Singh, and another guy. And I don't remember which guy it was. There's a few friends kind of hanging about.
Yeah.
It's fine. Murad berates Moeen as they drive off in this stolen car, and he turns off the music because it's, quote, messing with his head. And Moeen says, I thought you liked rap music. And Murad says that he does, but not this wannabe rap music. The next morning, Murad is asleep in bed when he wakes up to his parents fighting. And Murad is then riding the bus to school when a pretty lady gets on.
Uh-huh.
And they make some eye contact as she's standing and he's sitting at the back of the bus. And then this pretty lady comes back, sits next to Murad, and they share his headphones, and then they hold hands.
It's very sweet.
It's really sweet. I actually, there's some unhealthy things about their relationship.
It's a very unhealthy relationship, but this moment is sweet.
Yeah, and several moments are very sweet.
We can appreciate the sweet moments while also drawing attention to the violent moments.
Yeah.
But I do want to acknowledge how annoying I would find it if someone came up to, like, share my music with me and they pull out the wrong earbud.
Oh, yeah.
And put it in their wrong ear, so I now have to put the wrong earbud in my wrong ear. Like, no.
I agree.
You took the wrong bud, and it just drove me crazy. It took me right out of the moment.
You know what's funny? I didn't even notice, but I love that you noticed, because that would also annoy me so, so much.
Yeah. Yeah.
Back home, Murad watches his father's second wife move into the house while he listens to music, and mm-hmm. his mother is forced to play host to the second wife now.
Yeah.
And that night, Murad writes lyrics about what he's kind of seen and experienced and all of that. He is a writer, a quiet, soulful writer boy. The next day, there's a tour of a bunch of like British white tourists with cameras and selfie sticks being led through the neighborhood. And the tour guide stops at Murad's family's home and like bargains with his grandmother to get her to let him show the tourists their house.
Yeah.
And I just wanted to say that this scene makes me want to apologize on behalf of all white people.
I couldn't agree more. It's so, like, the fact that they're taking this, like, guided tour of this yeah. slum and, like...
And, it, like, they're saying, like, wow, this is crazy. Or,
yeah, like
this
look
is
at
so
how
small.
Every space is utilized. Like, it's
people
not...
People live
these,
here. Humans.
Yeah, this isn't a zoo. This no. is a place where actual people live and... You don't yeah. get to be a spectator to that. Like,
no, it's gross.
Yeah.
And, like, part of me is, like, you know, as the tour guide was saying, like, they paid for their ticket, which will pay for a new toilet. Uh-huh. Because then I'm, like, I am pro taking white people's money. You know, like...
Yeah, yeah, absolutely, yeah. I thought there was going to be more to
no,
that.
No, I think that was it.
That's it. That just pro taking their money. Yeah, with but, consent. Please don't rob people.
Correct. But. Like, yeah, but it's like, exploit the white people who are trying to exploit you. I'm like, yeah. I'm okay with that.
Right, yeah. Mutual exploitation, I suppose. Is But it, yeah. I feel like perhaps if you are visiting that area and just trying to, like, patronize some of the local establishments, maybe is a better way to, like,
I agree.
Put your money into the community than paying to judge the people around you and take pictures
yeah
as if this is like a foreign planet to you
right like, yeah. yeah that was all very ew is what I said but
yeah it's all very ew
and it's like very cringy but it's also like so real
right
and that
right.
makes it so much worse like
yeah
yeah and I'm sorry on behalf of all white people
yeah
and then things get a little bit worse when
believe it or not they do get worse.
Murad's kind of just like hanging out. It's like he sees this happen a lot, I guess. And he sees that one of the tourists is wearing a NAS t-shirt. Mm-hmm. And he's like, hey, nice shirt. He says it in English, by the way. This is a college educated yeah. man.
Yeah.
And the white guy then explains in like patronizing English, like slow and like
yeah.
big spaces between like, yeah, this is Nas, who's one of the biggest American rappers of all time. And I love Murad just like cuts him off mid-sentence yeah. to rap some Nas lyrics in English. Yeah. Like he's like, I'm just no, I know that's the reason I said it was a cool shirt.
It's a it's
we
such
have
a strange...
phones and like
right. Yeah, I'm aware of what's going on in the world. Like, the idea of just anybody in any culture, like, complimenting a t-shirt you're wearing that's, like, advertising, like, an artist right. that you like, I feel like the natural assumption is, oh, you know who that is.
Correct. But also, for a lot of people, I can also see it going that way, you know? Like, I wouldn't
oh, well,
be surprised.
Yes, absolutely. This yeah. is my ugh. Criticism of people who are assuming that people mm-hmm. who are... brown are more ignorant than yeah. they are of the world around them.
Yep. And then, guys, yeah. it gets weirder. Because then this white guy's response is, cool, you know it. Can I take your picture?
Yeah. What?
And immediately just, like, snaps a picture. I said this yeah. is the weirdest effing thing to
so
say
weird.
In this moment. Like, Murad just has enough time to put his hand in front of his face before yeah. this white guy snaps a photo.
But also in a way that makes it so seem like he this has happened to him
right.
multiple times.
Oh, yeah.
Like, he's just ready. He's like, yep. And I also think it's worth noting, for multiple reasons, but in this particular context, noting that Murad is shirtless. So
yeah.
here, like, there's just, like, a half-naked man, like, hanging out in his home, and you're like, can I take your picture? No!
Yeah, it feels weird. Feels really weird.
Feels so weird.
Yep.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Again, very sorry that white people are the way we are.
Yeah. We'll keep apologizing, so don't you worry about that.
we'll have plenty more opportunities, don't you worry.
So Murad texts Safina, and they meet up. Oh, because I don't know if I specified that the pretty lady's name is Safina.
Ah, yes.
And she asks him how his new mom is.
Yeah.
And he's in a bad mood from the new wife because his mom is feeling disrespected.
Yeah, because it doesn't seem like there was any real conversation about this happening. Like, there was no real warning.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, everyone's a little bit off kilter, but Safina kisses him on the cheek, which ends up making him smile. Mm-hmm. Then we see Safina walking with her mother, who tells her that she needs to skip one of her med school classes to attend her cousin's wedding. Mm-hmm. And this is a common theme as well, Safina's mom kind of being like, school should not be your priority.
Yeah.
And Safina is understandably annoyed by this, and she's still in a mood when she gets on the bus and sits next to Murad. And he shows her that he's received a text from a secret admirer. They find out that it's a woman named Albina, and Safina storms off the bus and goes to where Albina works to confront her. And she tells Albina that she and Murad have been together for 9 years since they were 13, so Albina has no business texting him. And Safina then, like, throws Albina off her chair, because Albina gives some sass back but does not start anything physical.
She does not initiate a physical altercation, no.
Nope. But Safina throws her off her chair, and they get into a full-on fight.
Yeah.
And Safina does get dragged away from the fight by a third party, but she yells to Albina that she'd better not look at Murad ever again, or she'll, like, claw her eyes out.
Real aggressive.
Which is a lot. I know there's a lot of stuff going on, which we'll get into, but, like, if you've been with someone for 9 years, shouldn't you be a little more secure?
Yeah. 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 Because, I mean, like, it's not really Albina's fault for shooting her shot if Murad, like, responds to it. Like, that's his choice. Like,
right.
He's the one who she should be displeased with.
Yes.
But I also, I definitely, like, didn't like Safina in this moment. And, you know, I do feel like we come to understand her character and her character's motivations better.
Yeah.
And I appreciate the writing of this, like, complicated character who
I
you know, spent most of the movie just thinking, like, yeah, no, I don't really like her. I like Ali Abad's portrayal of her.
Right.
Yeah, but the acting is great. But I also can understand why she is the way that she is.
Yeah. Which is the sign of a well-written character. You're correct.
Exactly. Yeah.
And then Safina meets up with Murad, who asks her why she hit Albina. He's not impressed by her doing this. Which, that's also a common theme we see, is that he very much has a strong sense of, like, what's right and wrong and, like, morality.
He does. Yeah.
And he's like, what, do you want to be a hooligan? And she's like, no, I only have one life and one you, and I'm not losing you. Mm-hmm. And then she does apologize and says that it won't happen again. And then it's kind of like, all's forgiven, they smile at each other, and they're in love, and all of that. But I'm gonna be honest, I don't know, if I saw my partner just, like, beat up a person, I don't think I'd just be like, oh, okay, you said some nice words to me, we're good now.
Yeah, definitely, not the healthiest of relationships, like we said. And they're also 22, so,
yep.
You know, there's some growing that may be needed.
That is true. That is true. And, again, not great home lives.
Right. Yes.
But, anyway, at the college, there's a concert going on where a woman with a guitar essentially gets booed off the stage.
Now, can we talk about this moment?
Yes.
In depth, please, because this is Jocelyn Royal.
Oh my god, is it?
Yes. Who I didn't know that she appeared in the movie, but I knew that the song that she was playing in that moment was on the soundtrack. That song is a banger, by the way.
Yeah, I liked what I heard of it.
Listen to all of it, because it gets even better. But, like, I was so, like, so upset about this moment. Because it's a very rude moment. Like,
yeah,
it's basically
meant to
just, like,
right.
These dudes, like, boo her off stage, and everyone else is like, why? I was just really sad that Jocelyn Royal that was all she did. I kept thinking, like, there must be some way that she's gonna come back, or her song's gonna come back. Mm-hmm. But no.
That so was just, it.
I was just very sad for Jocelyn Royal. She's incredible, and I love this song and every song I've ever heard her write, sing, perform, ever. Yeah. She's great.
And I understand we needed this as, like, a plot point to introduce a certain character, but...
Did we, though?
Yeah, right? Because I'm like, that's a pretty sizable crowd, and it seems like the only people booing her were, like, one or two guys. So I feel like the rest of the crowd could have bolstered her up.
They definitely could have, and so could... I feel like... Spoiler alert. I feel like Cher could have
he could have,
like,
brought her back. I thought he was going to, and he's like,
I did,
nah,
too! And then I was, like, mad at Cher for the rest of the movie because he didn't bring Jocelyn Royal back on stage. But anyway, I just wanted to make sure we expanded on that moment.
I appreciate that because I did not realize that was her. That's amazing.
Yep.
Anyway, she gets booed off the stage, and then... A handsome guy. Again, I just like his vibe. I like his smile. He's very charming. But a guy named Cher comes on stage and performs a song that tells off the jerk who booed the woman and makes that guy leave. So that was great. And everyone's into it, including Murad, who runs to join the crowd.
Yeah.
So he likes this guy. He's like, ooh, he does. Who's this?
Not in a sexual way.
Not in a sexual way, but in, like, a...
I respect you as an artist.
Yes. And also, perhaps, as a friend.
Ah, yes.
Yes. You can pick up on vibes of, like, oh, these are friend vibes.
A mentor and friend.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Murad then gets a phone call that his dad is at the doctor's because he broke slash sprained his foot slash ankle. I don't know how he did it, but he apparently did it on the job. So I have to believe maybe his foot got run over.
You know, you reach a certain age and it's really easy to just kind of throw stuff out of whack.
Like, I guess that's true, but he's
like, I don't think it would be anything that serious.
Well, because it's like his dad's a driver.
Yeah.
And he definitely heard it on the job.
I'm sure he probably was, like, walking from place to place and, like, tripped or something. Mm-hmm, like, yeah.
All right.
Because if he's the driver and his foot got run over, who ran it over?
Another driver. Maybe he forgot to put the car in park and it backed up and rolled over his foot.
Well, then he's a bad driver and he should be fired.
Yes, but that's the whole fear, isn't it? Because... Murad's dad won't be able to work for 6 weeks, so he offers up Murad to work in his place. And Murad doesn't get consulted about this, he doesn't get asked, he's, like, told, okay, you're going to be driving in my place.
Yeah.
Murad's mother is unhappy about this because she considers driving to be beneath Murad, and she's worried that he won't have enough time to study. And his father tells her not to worry about it because Murad knows that he has to pay his father back for his education, so he will make sure not to fail his classes. Mm-hmm. And his mom says that she has big plans for Murad, but his dad says that she should look around and make sure that her dreams match her reality.
Which is dad's favorite mantra.
Yeah, I can also just imagine being this woman who's trapped in this kind of horrendous marriage.
Mm-hmm.
And the only thing that can give you hope is focusing on your, like, children and, like,
and he's
giving them
a
better life. Yeah.
Well, and, yeah, and we learn later how mom had her own dreams and aspirations that then just were thrown out the window when...
Exactly.
Not by her choice when she got married.
Right. Anyway, the next day, Murad has his day at work, so he's driving this wealthy lady around, and then that night, he hangs out with Safina and his friends, and Safina ends up giving him an iPad to watch movies because it's, like, New Year's Eve, and he's going to have to stay up to drive the family, like, back to their home after their New Year's party, and he's very touched by this gift, and he tells her he can never give her anything so expensive. And her response is that she's able to be herself around him and he's all she wants in the world. And, like, that's enough.
Mm-hmm.
Which, again, on its own is very sweet, but there is definitely this, like, pressure placed on him, I feel, to be everything for her.
Mm-hmm. I think that's very fair. I also feel like that line is undermined a little bit by her then just going and asking her dad for a new one.
Yeah, that was weird.
Yeah, because it like, what value does that gift have if she can just get another one to replace it?
Right, whereas to him, it was like, wow, thank you.
It actually meant a lot, yeah.
Yeah. I know, I was thinking it was because she didn't need it, or whatever, which also, you know...
Yeah.
Takes away the value of it too, but you know what I mean. Like,
but would also be very irresponsible if she like needed it for school and she just gave it to him to watch movies. Yes. But
yes.
At least it's all a little weird.
Uh-huh. And meanwhile, Murad is driving around this wealthy family as the father has an argument with the daughter about going to Harvard for graduate school. Mm-hmm. And the father basically uses Murad as a point in his argument, essentially saying, "Look, even the driver is graduating college, and you want to be on the same level he is." And it's just striking the contrast between, like, how this wealthy man is viewing Murad's college education compared to mm-hmm. how his mother views his right. college education.
Yeah. It's this huge opportunity
right.
for, you know, for him to be there, and this man is really belittling it by saying... his daughter is only going to amount to whatever you can amount to. So she's got right. to get even more school because she deserves more to, yeah.
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 Like, don't use other people to step, like, don't step on other people point. In order to make an argument.
Yeah, no. Especially when they're right there.
Right. That's gross. Whatever. The next morning, Murad is browsing social media on the iPad when he sees that there's a meetup for music artists later that afternoon. Mm-hmm. And so he goes, and I like that there's always like a warehouse or something where people meet and they do stuff and it's cool.
Uh-huh.
Or scary. But in this case, it's cool.
Yeah.
But anyway, Murad goes to this meetup and he sees that Cher is there too.
Mm-hmm.
And so he walks up to Cher and he's like, I came here because I wanted to meet you. I've written some stuff and like you can use it if you want. And Cher says that he only performs his own stories, but Murad should perform what he's written. So he encourages Murad to get on the mic and he does.
Yeah.
But he's very nervous about it. Mm-hmm. I also like that Cher was like, rap is all about being like, without discomfort, you don't get rap.
Yeah.
I appreciate, like, the ode to rap culture that this movie showcases.
Well, then you're going to love my research.
I'm very excited. Very excited. But, yeah, so this is a really supportive group of guys, which is amazing.
It is very sweet.
And they give Murad a beat, and he raps his own words, and people are into it.
Yeah, he does a good job.
Yeah, and someone even films it.
Yeah.
After the open mic, Murad calls Safina and goes to her house so that they can look at each other as they talk on the phone. And I also find that really sweet, too.
Yeah.
And he tells her about, you know, his day and what he accomplished. And he asks her how she's able to be so fearless all the time. And she says that when life gives you something good, you shut up and take it. Which is not bad advice.
It's not bad advice.
If it's consensual taking.
Yeah. But maybe that's where that, you know, if it's something good, you really should just take it.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
No pressure or anything, but.
Yes. And at the, like, rap warehouse place, there's mm-hmm. a bit of a rap battle. Murad gets pulled into it, but he has no response for the insults that get thrown at him. And
yeah.
He clearly, feels it. No, he yeah. wasn't ready. And he's just a sweet boy.
He is just a sweet boy.
But then Cher gives him a pep talk about how all the great artists were once broke and starving, but they turned that hunger into words.
Mm-hmm.
So when he's back home, he uses the iPad to record his verses and figure out his rhythm at night, which I appreciate because you hear his mom tell him to stop talking to himself because it brings bad luck. And just something about that, I was like, that's cute.
I did think that was funny. Because, yeah, it's like, all you hear is just his voice. And then, right. He's playing back the recording of his own voice. It's just, uh-huh. yeah.
It's like, stop talking to yourself.
You gotta do what you gotta do to create your art.
Uh-huh. And the next day, Murad meets up with Cher and shares what he's been working on. And Cher gives him some advice and tells him that he should record in a studio so that they can shoot a video to put it on YouTube.
Yeah. And he says here, Murad says here that he didn't even know what tempo was.
Yeah.
And I'm like, Cher pushed him into, like, an open mic and a rap battle when he didn't even know what tempo was.
Yeah, so he did a pretty good job.
He did a pretty good job. It's pretty impressive that he could just vibe that out, but right. Yeah.
And then we get a montage of Murad working on his song with Cher's help, and finally he's in a real studio to record. And they shoot the music video, and Cher and Murad and Cher's girlfriend all decide that his rapper name will be Gully Boy.
Just to kind of talk about white people again.
Yeah, uh-huh, yeah.
And the fact that, like, his name kind of comes out of, like, a reductive comment made by a white woman, which on the one hand, like, made me sad, but then on the other hand was like, that's kind of great.
Just, yes.
Like, take that and own make it your identity. Yeah.
Yeah, you're right. She was kind of patronizingly like, "Oh, he's a gully boy.
You're just a little gully boy." And it's like, no, please. Why are you here? I don't know why this woman was here.
Because Cher liked that she was direct.
There was a comment he made about something of like, I knew when she looked into my eyes that she was seeing me and not, you know, seeing like where I lived or like this.
Right.
And I was like, literally earlier in this movie, like, white people were looking in people's eyes and not seeing them for who they actually were. So, like, I don't believe that is actually the culture of white people.
Yeah, no, I think white culture is pretty toxic. In fact, yeah. I'm not even going to say I believe. It is. The mere idea of white culture.
It's just, it makes my skin crawl.
Yeah, it's not good. It's not good. It's based on exclusivity, so.
Yeah.
Anyway, we're not here to talk about white people.
No.
So on the bus, Murad gets asked if he's recording any other songs. Like, some people are starting to recognize him because he's got a song up on YouTube. And Safina says, no, he's going to graduate first.
A lot of people making choices for him.
Yeah, without really talking to him. But later that day, he ends up responding to YouTube comments with Cher. And that's how he connects with a person named Sky, who says that their beats will improve Murad's songs. Mm-hmm. And they set up a time to meet. Then Murad is at family dinner, and his uncle tells him to come see him in a week when his final exams are done. And Murad's mom is super excited about this because Murad is going to get a job in sales working for his uncle. Then, Murad's father's second wife discovers Murad's song on YouTube. Mm-hmm. And his father is extremely upset by this because he has this big chip on his shoulder because he's been paying for Murad's education.
Yeah.
And he feels like all that money has been wasted, and he slaps Murad.
Murad has still been doing all of the things that his parents want him to do. It's like, why can't he have hobbies?
Right? That aren't hurting you.
Right. And I also feel for the woman who is the second wife.
Mm-hmm.
It seems like she does want there to be peace in this family. She didn't ask for this upheaval. She probably doesn't necessarily want to be married to this man.
Right. Yeah.
Like, yeah, and then just, like, to do this thing of, like, oh, I, like, look at what your son has created. It's really cool. And to have it just turn into, like, a huge family fight.
Yeah. But Murad goes to a rap show with Cher, and that is where he meets up with Sky,
mm-hmm.
only to discover she's a woman.
She's a hot lady.
And a student at Berkeley.
Yeah, she's a real smart, hot lady.
Yeah, and she's, like, studying, like, music producing or something. Yeah. But she wants to record in India, so she's mm-hmm. been looking for, like, an artist. And she offers to produce for Murad and split everything 50-50. She's like, I can get you a studio, I can get you equipment. Like, she's also very wealthy, which is helpful.
Yeah.
And Murad tells Safina the good news about recording with Cher and Sky. And Safina notes that Sky is a woman. But Murad's such a sweetheart. Like,
yeah.
I don't know. He hasn't really given her, that we have seen, he hasn't really given her any reason.
No,
he does later, but.
He does later. Yeah, I know. It is interesting. Like, yeah, it doesn't seem like anything has happened before this.
Right.
It really does seem like it's just coming from Safina and her her feelings about, about kind of how to be in a relationship.
Which is sad. It's just sad. What are you barking at?
I was also going to say, someone is shooting off fireworks that I just could hear some popping. So if there's any popping on the recording, sorry, it's July 3rd in the United States.
Yes. Which actually also might be why, if you hear a little woof or two, the dog is barking, and that might be a factor as well that I had not considered.
It's really a week-long slash all-summer-long event for us here, Independence Day.
Yeah, Americans, we're really into independence.
Yeah, almost too much in some ways.
In a lot of ways, yeah. Anywho, this is the point of the movie where I was expecting him then to, like, drop his studies and not do well, but that's not the case. Like, no, again, he does everything very well.
Yeah, he manages to accomplish all of the things that everyone, including he himself, wants to accomplish.
Yep, yeah. So we see Murad take his exams, followed by a montage of him working on his songs and hanging with Cher and studying with Safina. Like, he's doing it all.
He's doing it all.
And then Sky decides that they will shoot his next music video on his home street, mm-hmm. and they bring in real equipment to do it. I didn't actually write down the names of any of the songs, mm-hmm. but this next one is, like, my fave.
It's my fave, too. And I know what it's called.
Great. What's it called?
It's called Mere Gully Main, which means on my street. And the reason I know that is because it's a real song. But we'll talk about that more later.
Oh, fun. That's awesome. Meanwhile, we see Murad's friend Moeen, who is the car thief from the beginning of the movie, just paying off some kids on bikes.
Yeah.
And Murad kind of, like, goes over and is like, hey, bro, like, what are you doing? But Moeen won't give him a straight answer. Murad then shows his mom the new music video. And then his phone rings, and it's Sky. Mm-hmm. And she and some of her friends pick him up in their car and bring him with them to do some graffiti and some light vandalizing.
Yeah.
It just struck me as odd. Like, why?
Why is a great question. And I didn't know if we were trying to draw this comparison. And by we, I mean me and my good friend Zoya Akhtar and her good friend Rima Kagti. But the comparison between Murad's reaction to his friend Moeen's, like, crimes that he is committing versus these rich people and the petty crimes that they're committing. It's really interesting. It's like these rich people who are just committing... not felonies, who are just, committing vandalism, that's the word I wanted.
Right.
Just for fun. Just because they can. Just because they want to. Just because they know they can get away with it if they get caught. Murad's into that, because it means he gets to be a part of that world for a minute. But then, like, his friend who is, like, feels that he has no other choice
and is just trying of a way to make a living.
Murad takes a moral high ground with. It's just, it's really interesting, and it's a dynamic that just kind of got put there and didn't really get explored.
Right. I really appreciate you putting it into those words, though, because I hadn't fully made that connection. So, yeah, this literally does nothing but honestly probably make more work for street cleaners.
And yeah, for the people who are going to have to clean it up. Yeah.
I was honestly, like, kind of pro the graffiti. Mm-hmm. Like, the first thing they did where they were, like,
on a blank wall. I liked the one that was, like, actual art.
Yeah. I'm like, that's art. That's fine. Yeah, that's cool. Then it's, like...
She's just, like, spraying lines and, that's covering up faces and,
art at that point?
No.
And I feel like they were, like, making social commentary, and that's, like, its whole thing, because they were targeting, like, photos of models and, like, skin lightening cream ads, and I get that, but yeah.
And let's make sure we file away the skin lightening moment for,
Yeah, because Ranveer's skin is darker in this film, no?
It is. And there's an interesting conversation to be had about why.
Okay. Anyway, after this vandalism, Sky drops off her two other friends, and then it's just Sky and Murad, and they're smoking.
In more ways than one.
In more ways than one. Wink. But they actually are smoking.
They are smoking, yeah.
And they're smoking hot, but...
Those are the ways. Those are the two ways that they're smoking.
Sky tells Murad to follow his passion and the money will follow, which is such a privileged thing to say.
It's so privileged, yes.
Because it's like, you only say that because you already have money.
And, like, we're clearly supposed to like Skye. And yeah. In some ways I do, but in other ways I'm like, she is saying a lot of things that just she needs to think about more.
Right, right. And then she kisses Murad. And who knows what happens after that?
I don't think it's going to be good.
No. But it's okay because then he finds out that Nass is coming to Mumbai.
Yeah.
And there's going to be a rap battle competition, which mm-hmm. sounds awesome, yeah. with a prize of 1,000,000 rupees.
Yeah. It's like you get money and you get fame.
Yeah. Amazing. And that night, they have a party to celebrate the success of the music video, and so everyone's kind of out having a good time. And Safina is watching Murad and Skye interact. And then she finds out that Murad had lied to her and said that he was at home the night that he was actually out with Skye graffitiing everything.
Yeah.
Safina sees Skye and Murad talking and asks what's going on between them. And throughout this whole interaction, Murad is kind of just like, quiet because he clearly yeah. feels guilty, but then he's leaving Skye to interact with Safina, and Skye's trying to do that, but Safina is just like getting more and more worked up because she's right. like, I don't want to talk to you.
Yeah, and it's no secret she has a history of violence.
Yep. And so Safina's like, all right, I'm leaving. She goes to leave, but Skye follows her and tries to talk to her, and then Safina pretty casually, like, picks up a bottle and slams it into Skye's head.
Yeah, you could kill someone by doing that.
You can. That's a lot. That goes beyond just hitting her.
Yeah.
Yeah, she needs some therapy.
She really does.
But they all go to the police station, and Skye refuses to press charges. She tells the police, like, oh no, we're friends. And Safina's parents come to collect her, and she had told them that she was going to a friend's parents' engagement party. They obviously know that's not the truth. And Safina says that her life is confined to home, college, and the clinic. And if she were allowed to go to parties and movies with her friends, and if she was allowed to talk to boys when her parents were present, she would not lie again. And it could be
she
healthier.
She won't have to.
Right. Like... yeah. And then her mother slaps her.
Yeah.
Like, repeatedly.
Yeah.
It is a beating.
Yeah. And this is where it's like, because I had been writing down, like, okay, I don't understand how what you're saying to your parents, which is very valid, connects to the violence that you have committed against two women so far
right.
in this movie. And then when it becomes clear that she has been raised with where that is the response to when somebody says something you don't like.
Yep.
It's like, okay, well, now that does make sense. Again, not saying that it's right. an okay way to be, but it makes sense that that's why she acts that way.
Exactly.
Yeah. And I also, like, I'll reference this article in my research, but I read an article, an interview with Zoya Akhtar, where she was saying that she had also envisioned Safina as, like, always having been one of the guys when she was younger. Mm-hmm. And we do kind of see that. Like, she is good yeah. friends with all of Murad's friends. So, that idea that she then had to stop being the way she always was when she
yeah.
When she hit puberty was, like, also this big mm-hmm. factor in the way she was, which I thought was really interesting.
Yeah, because she does mention she and Murad have been together since they were 13.
Right, so, like, clearly they or not clearly, but it makes sense that they would have, like, known each other as middle school friends before that.
Right, and would explain yeah. why she's like, I can be myself around you.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, she's a sad character.
Yeah, she could have had her own movie.
Yes, for sure. The next day, Safina calls Murad, and they get into a fight, and he is like, that's it, I'm done, I want to end our relationship. Mm-hmm. And upon hearing that, she immediately hangs up and, like, starts sobbing.
Yeah.
Because it's like, he's the only good thing in her life that she, quote-unquote, has control over.
He is like a choice that she's making
Correct.
In her
That's
life.
Correct. Yeah. Yes. And she is kind of trying to control him.
She is a little controlling of him, too. Yeah, but...
but that's a better way of phrasing it, the way that I meant it. Murad then goes to see Skye, who tells him that Safina texted her to apologize. And Murad tells Skye that they broke up. And we see Murad and Skye making a song very sensually together, sharing a mic. And Skye kisses him again.
Yeah.
But he breaks off the kiss this time. She asks him if it's Safina, and he nods. And they leave it at that, and they get back to the music. And that's, mm-hmm. like, kind of the end of their fling or whatever.
It is, yeah.
Meanwhile, Safina has a meeting with a potential husband, and afterward, she asks her mom when she can return to college, and her mom says, after you get married, you can go back to classes.
Yeah.
But Safina only has 18 months left before graduation, and she says she can't afford to miss a single lecture. She says that she's already apologized, and they cannot pull her out of college. She says she'll marry anyone they want her to if she can be allowed to study. And we then see Cher coaching Murad on how to win a rap battle. Back at home, Murad's parents are fighting again because his father is throwing his things out of the house, having decided that he's kicking Murad out for the singing. Mm-hmm. And Murad's mother is trying to stop him. And Murad's father starts hitting his mother. Murad arrives home to see this, and he stops his father, finally pinning him against a wall and telling him not to hit his mother.
Yeah.
And this does seem to sink into his father. Also helpful that Murad is, like, a larger man.
Right. It's like, okay, now my son is, like, bigger and stronger than I am.
Yeah.
You shouldn't be hitting people who are weaker than you. But,
yeah.
Or anyone.
Right. Grandma starts yelling at Murad's mother for raising a son who would dare to hit his own father.
Right. Which is fascinating because she's watching her son hit his son.
Right.
But again, it's like, it's okay
if you're the father.
Hitting someone who's weaker than you or who, yes. like, has less status than you. That's correct. Expected. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, it's sad for everyone involved because it's also like, okay, what did Murad's father... Like, it's a cycle of violence.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Murad collects his mother and his brothers and he's like, all right, we're getting out of here. Like, we can't live here anymore. Mm-hmm. And as they're walking away, Grandma shouts after him, what about me? And he says, your son will look after you since you've raised him so well.
Yeah, that's a great response.
It's a great response. Yeah, like, Grandma.
Lie in the bed you've made, Grandma.
Yeah. So Murad then goes to his friend Moeen's house, only to discover that Moeen does, in fact, have a bunch of kids working on a drug operation.
Mm-hmm.
Not great.
Nope.
Murad yells at Moeen, telling him he'd said that the kids shouldn't be involved, but Moeen pushes back, saying that Murad should be mad at the people who put those kids in the gutter in the first place, rather than him, who is at least giving them food and shelter.
Mm-hmm.
And again, yeah, it's just like the cycle of poverty and...
Right, yeah.
Yeah. Murad then explains that he's in trouble and needs money because his mom has nowhere to go. And Moeen doesn't have any money to lend him right now, but he says that they can work together to steal some cars. So now Murad has to kind of give up his morality in order to support his family.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a montage when we do see Murad help his friend steal cars as he also prepares for the NAS rap battle. His mom gets a new place to live, and he does well on his exams, and he starts his new job with his uncle. And then we also see Safina's mom interrupt her studying to give her a pile of bios, of biographies of potential...
Boy bios.
Boy bios, yeah. bio boys. of potential husbands. And she kind of flits through them and chooses the one guy, Salman, who is actually one of Murad's friends.
Yeah.
Murad asks his uncle for a day off to go to the first rap battle audition, and his uncle reminds him that his father is a servant, and it's the way of the world for servants' children to be servants themselves, but Murad's mother is trying very hard for Murad not to be a servant. So basically, like, don't mess this up.
What I find fascinating about that whole thing is that Murad's father was good enough to marry his sister.
Yes. So, like, why would the uncle be looking down on him? Yeah.
Yeah. So, just the uncle sucks, basically, is the...
Right.
The long and the short of it.
But this sentiment hits Murad hard, and he decides to go to work instead of the audition. And then his uncle comes over and says, ah, I knew you were a smart boy. Life gives everyone a chance, and you've secured your future today. And I love this because he meant for that to be like, job well done, son. But this actually has the opposite effect on Murad, who is like, well, this isn't what I want for my future.
Nope.
So it makes him realize that he needs to go to the audition.
Yay!
So he tells his uncle thank you, and he gets up, and he leaves, and he goes. And he meets Cher there, and the rap battles start.
Huzzah!
Meanwhile, at Safina's house, she's meeting with her friend Salman and his parents. So then Salman asks to talk to her privately, and he's like, ah, can you believe this? This is so weird. Like, when are we going to tell our parents? No way. And she tells Salman that he needs to ask Murad to call her, or she'll agree to marry Salman.
What a wild way to get your ex to talk to you.
Yeah, I'm going to marry your friend. Meanwhile, the rap battles continue, and it's Gully Boy's turn. And he crushes his opponent.
He does.
And he ends up being in the top five, who will Yay. Perform at the final, which is great. Cher doesn't make it, but he's super supportive of Murad, and it's great.
Yeah.
And this is when Salman walks up and tells Murad what Safina said about calling her. So that night, Murad calls her and meets her in her bathroom, and he says that he misses her, and they kiss. And he says that he made it into the rap battle final, which is great. And she's like, you do what you want with your life. I'm going to be a surgeon, and we're going to have a great life together.
Yeah.
It is nice that they're both able to follow their dreams and goals with each other, as long as, you know, Murad doesn't, like, talk to other women, which is super healthy.
Yeah. But again, I have faith in Safina's ability to grow. Maybe Hopefully. By her mid-20s, she'll have gotten over that.
Yes, once her, like, frontal lobe fully forms.
Has fully developed, yeah.
26.
Yeah.
Murad returns home, only to discover that his father is in his mom's new house. And Murad shows his dad the numbers on YouTube that his songs have, like, achieved, and says that his songs mean something to people, and so they are worth something.
Yeah.
Then his father breaks down and says that he has only taught Murad what he himself has learned in his life.
Yeah.
And that your dream must match your reality. But Murad says no, he will change his reality to match his dream.
Yeah.
And the next day, Murad sees his friend Moeen get arrested for stealing cars. So Murad goes to visit him in jail and says that he'll tell the police it was him. But Moeen refuses to let him do that because he's like, I would have ended up in jail no matter what. Like, it was gonna happen sooner or later. So he says that Murad should look after his kids and pay his bail when he wins the competition, and that'll be enough.
Yeah.
And then it's time for the rap final.
Mm-hmm.
And Murad performs, and it's great, and he presumably wins.
Yeah.
Although we don't see that happen. And then there's this montage of him getting real Adidas, having a good time with his friends, being cute with Safina, and visiting with his grandmother. So, like, everything is looking up. And everyone in the neighborhood looks up to him now, and he's made it big, and he's playing big shows. And we even see his parents come to one of his shows. Mm-hmm. And you can tell that they're both proud of him.
Yeah.
And that's the end of the movie.
Yeah. So really, a good movie, a good story. I have more kind of, like, breakdown of the critical reception that I was about to slot in there. But
yeah.
Instead... let's talk about the skin darkening thing.
Yes, because I actually meant to ask you at the start of the episode, because Ranveer is definitely darker than he typically is.
Well, so Zoya Akhtar did confirm in an interview that Ranveer's skin is darker in this movie. They did intentionally darken his skin, but not because that was a character trait that they thought Murad should exhibit, but because Ranveer, prior to filming, had been on vacation in the Maldives and came
back.
So he
was just tan.
Now, I don't know how into that story I am. I mean, in a way, I felt, because it was only in certain moments that I was like, oh my gosh, his skin looks not like his skin.
Right.
And so I could believe that, you know, some of the stuff where I wasn't noticing it as much was when he was, like, naturally tan from being out in the sun.
Yeah. Because sometimes it looked like makeup.
Yeah. So I could see it. I could also see that just maybe being an excuse for having made that choice and wanting to, like, backtrack on it. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
But I did think it was really interesting because I read that article, and then I also just like I found like people, just normal people, talking about it on Reddit. Yeah. And not that this is like a credible source, but I do think it's interesting to see like firsthand how people were reacting to it.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, someone posted calling it brown face, but a lot of people commenting on it were saying like, no, that's not what this is. This is like a brown man just being browner in a movie.
Right.
And one commenter actually shared a video of Ranveer before he was famous from, like, you know, I don't know, some early video that, like, had gone out. Mm-hmm. And his skin does look darker in that video. And so then another commenter was like, what if this is just a movie where Ranveer's skin looks the way it looks?
Right.
And other movies he's been made to look lighter. Not made to look lighter with makeup or skin lightening, but just, like, told to be out of the sun so his skin is lighter.
Right, yeah.
So there's a lot of complicated kind of dynamics there. And I did have the thought, I was like, is this the movie where I'm going to talk about, like, where we're going to talk about, like, skin color in Bollywood? And no, it's not. But
I think
there are going to be other movies. Yeah.
I do want to watch that Hrithik movie.
Yeah, Super 30.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that movie is like an intentional choice that they made to darken a light-skinned actor's skin so he could play a role that maybe should have gone to someone else. Right. You know?
Yeah. Different conversation for a different day.
Exactly. Yes. Yeah. Yeah, was there anything else you wanted to say about the movie?
No, I would love for you to lead us into where you're going to lead us.
Great.
I'm here for it.
Come along with me. So I did want to share, yeah, like I said, some kind of commercial success stuff about the film. It was Zoya Akhtar's most commercially and critically successful movie to date. Mm. The movie still holds the record for the most Filmfare awards at 13, which is very impressive.
Like ever?
Yes.
Wow.
And that included all four major awards: actor, actress, director, and film. In the same HuffPost interview that I read the skin darkening thing about with Zoya Akhtar, the interviewer Ankara Patak, Akhtar expressed a desire for the film to feel authentic and to have no visual ties to Bollywood other than her two leads being, you know, two of the biggest stars around in Bollywood right now. So she and Rima Kagti wrote the script in English, which apparently is what they usually do, and then they give it over to someone else to write the dialogue in Hindi. Mm-hmm. And the person who did that for this movie was Vijay Maurya, with the help and input from actual young and up-and-coming rappers.
I love that.
Yes, who were also present on set to serve in a consulting capacity, and some of whom appear in the film.
Mm.
This is how Akhtar justified telling this story of poverty despite her own mega-privileged background.
Mm-hmm.
The film's soundtrack has more than 50 contributors, including rappers, DJs, beatboxers, hip-hop artists, and pop artists from across the country. Akhtar says, quote, "You cannot make a film like this without being there and having them on board. You have to make sure you respect their truth because their art is completely honest. It's really about who they are, what their life is, how the world treats them, and what they think of it."
Yeah.
The "they" that Akhtar is referring to are Gully rappers.
Mm.
Gully rap is a style of rap music that has now been around for about a decade and had only emerged on the scene a few years prior to Gully Boy's release.
Okay.
Hip-hop and Desi rap had existed in India prior to Gully rap, but it was felt to have too much focus on things like partying and drinking, materialistic things, and kind of be a genre more for the wealthy about the wealthy.
Right.
Artists from poorer corners of Mumbai took inspiration from American rappers like Tupac, Notorious B.I.G., and Nas, who, by the way, is credited as an executive producer of Gully Boy.
I kind of thought he was going to show up.
I know, I did too. And then I was like, oh, they just name dropped. But like, no, he was actually like involved in the making
part
of the film.
I love that.
So yes, taking inspiration from these American rappers, folks in Mumbai created a genre that was more representative of their experiences.
Mm-hmm.
Gully rap is characterized by its socio-political emphasis, its use of Hindi, Urdu cadences and slang, and low production costs. The earliest examples of gully rap exemplify this last characteristic. Rapper MC Divine performed for the first time on the steps of his neighborhood in 2013, and his friends were so impressed they raised money so he could record the track Ye Mera Bombay. They filmed the music video using a cell phone and uploaded it to YouTube, where it went viral.
Mm-hmm.
The music video features people from Divine's community, a slum near the Mumbai airport. Divine is quoted in an article from The Guardian saying he, quote, wanted to show what real life was like for people like him. No guns, no cars, just a simple struggle every day. We all want to speak, but we never get the chance.
Mm.
3 years later, he was named by BBC Asian Network as one of the top artists to watch in 2016.
Oh. So
very much a, you know, coming from nothing and
right.
creating an art form, really.
Oh, that's awesome.
In 2015, Divine collaborated with another Mumbai-based rapper, Nazy. The release of their track, Meri Gully Main, is considered by many to be the birth of the gully rap genre. Mm. And Divine and Nazy are considered to be at the forefront of this genre. And if you recognize that title, it is yes. the song that happens in the movie, and they did, like, re-record a version of it for the movie with Ranveer Singh rapping on the track.
That is so fun that they, like, included that in the
yeah.
film.
Yeah, and the original music video has a lot of the same essence, I uh-huh. suppose, of the one in the movie. It's that, you know, they're featuring a lot of people in their community, you know, showing people dancing. And
right.
It just, that's great. It's great. Yeah, it's really cool.
I love it.
In that same article from The Guardian, Nazy says, quote, the popular rappers in Bollywood just talk about girls and booze and parties. They're only talking about glamour and trying to sell a fake dream. I wanted to make music that spoke about fighting and the murders and the violence that were part of my life growing up. And the same for millions of others living in ghettos across India. Mm. The rich are getting richer and the poor are getting poorer. And that's because people like me, people from my neighborhood, don't have any real opportunities.
Mm-hmm.
The cycle of poverty that you were talking about before.
Yep.
Nazy and Divine are both credited contributors to Gully Boy, and the film was largely based on their lives and experiences and journeys to success.
Wow.
Divine also appears in the film, so that's cool, and many other Gully rappers also appeared as themselves, including Shah Rule and Emiwe Bantai.
That's really great, too. Like, I love that then people also got exposure through the film, too.
Yeah.
For their art.
For their art, and people got exposed to the art. It's all all good, all mutual. So the DIY origins of gully rap, you know, the way that Divine's, like, first video was filmed on a phone by his friends.
Yeah.
That is still, like, a central component to the art form.
Mm-hmm.
Most performers also choose to remain independent and release their songs on YouTube, which allows for their primary audience, young people living in poverty, to access them more easily.
Mm-hmm.
An article for Red Bull, of all things, by Akhil Sood notes how, quote, the gritty reality of gully rap gave Indian kids something to connect with and believe in. Stories like Divine's of abuse and neglect and Nazy's of run-ins with the law from an early age were highly relatable and validating for young people living in poverty across the country. Now, the interesting thing that I realized during the recap is the choice of having Sky, this wealthy, privileged woman, fund Murad's early success.
Yeah.
When that's very much, like, not the spirit of gully rap.
That is interesting.
And I wonder why that choice was made, and also, like, was it just to have there be, like, conflict in the romantic relationship? That just was kind of sticking out in my mind. Yeah.
Yeah.
The Guardian article talks about how the hip-hop collective Slum Gods, which opened an education center in Dharavi, Asia's largest slum with 1 million people living there, which is the slum that the movie is set in, they opened these education centers that, in addition to teaching English and math, also host events where young people can write and perform their own raps.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah. Rapper Poetic Justice, which is spelled with a K and an S, both words are intentionally spelled wrong, and I like it.
Yes.
I can't remember how justice is supposed to be
spelled. It's edgy, it's cool.
It's edgy, yeah. Says, quote, "It's not just about breaking out of the cycle of poverty, but also showing people how to express themselves, talking about local issues and their own lives in the language they use every day." Yeah, so I was so interested to learn about this kind of subculture of rap. And one thing that I was thinking about was, I had a teacher, a white woman teacher, once say that rap, when performed by any other culture other than Black Americans, is cultural appropriation.
I was wondering, I didn't have an opinion on it, but I definitely noted it when I saw it happen, and I was like, I wonder. So anyway, sorry.
Well, and I don't think that there's any, just as kind of with any other conversation about cultural appropriation, I mean, there are very clear, blatant examples of it, but I think that there's a lot of gray area around it, as there is in this case. On the one hand, you know, art that's inspired by one oppressed group's struggle that inspires another oppressed group to, like, find their voice.
Yeah.
You know, it's hard for me to imagine that first group saying, no, you can't. You can't have been inspired by what we created and created something that was based in that. Like, yeah. But also, there's a very clear acknowledgement of Black American inspiration. And again, the rapper Nas, who is a Black American man, was very much in support of this movie and also, you know, in support of gully rap in general, and actually, like, you know, is attached to a production label with Divine called Gully Gang. So, like, clearly he's into it.
Well, yeah, and I think that a big component of cultural appropriation tends to be an existing power imbalance. Yeah, so, like, white people in America have no business appropriating Black American culture when we continue to uphold systems that were, like, set in place when we had slavery. Like,
And it's exactly that. And when white people, and, you know, and I don't even necessarily have a problem with white rappers per se, but I do think it's problematic when white rappers have an easier time of, like, becoming famous and growing a following than Black artists do, simply because they're white and more white people, like, gravitate towards them. And the cultural appropriation of, like, white people of really any other culture's ways of expressing themselves, when we not just created, like you said, policies that still, like, oppress those people to this day, but we also stop those people from being able to express themselves culturally. That is a much more complicated dynamic, and I think much more worth attention.
I don't think, we need to pass judgment on what's happening in this film as appropriation. But I appreciate you like, acknowledging it. Because, I don't know, liberal white ladies, it's also, it's like, is that that's appropriation. Is that appropriation?
Yeah.
Is that
yeah, we never want to fall on the side of appropriation.
No.
And so when we say second that something might be, we're not necessarily saying that it is, just that we see that it could be if anyone also feels that way. We know how to sit on a fence.
Yeah, we do.
One last thing I wanted to say in my research, going back to the interview with Zoya Akhtar, there was a question that she was asked about why she didn't focus the movie more on the politics of Murad being Muslim, his friends, his family all being Muslim, and, you know, the violence that they could potentially have faced being Muslim people living in slums. And she said, that's a different movie. She said, that's a movie I could make a different time, but this is a movie about them being rappers, about him being a rapper.
I think it would have been too much to try to give that the time and space it deserves, and also feature this art form.
And I also think, you know, we made similar comments about Katal. It's okay for a movie to just be about a guy creating music who also happens to be Muslim.
Like, it doesn't have to be about his religion.
He can just, that can just be a part of who he is, but not the main driving, like, conflict of the movie. So that's it. That's my research.
I love that. I also, I did note that, you know, there were a few, like, one-offs in the dialogue or something, like, like his dad is saying, you need to take my job while I'm sick or while I'm injured, because it's hard enough for like Muslims to get a job right now. So
yeah, it's like, yeah, putting in enough to acknowledge like, yeah, this is a reality. We're not pretending like it's not, but it's also not like we want to make a movie that's not about where that's not like the only thing that this person is dealing with. Yeah.
No, I thought it was really well done. And thank you for the added context, too. Like, it makes me appreciate the film even more now.
Yeah, absolutely.
Wonderful.
Wunderbar.
Do you have any Bollywood news?
I do.
Oh, I don't. So have at it.
Have you seen anything, any of the press about Kalki 2898 AD?
Nope.
So this is a huge movie that is actually already out. It's even playing in Williston. I'm probably not going to go see it because no one will go with me.
Yeah.
And it is a three-hour movie, and three-hour movies are hard in theaters. Anyway, this is a movie starring the likes of Amitabh Bachchan. I've said that name before.
many times. Wouldn't
know it, but and it's also got Deepika in it.
Oh.
It's got Prabhas, who I've never seen in a movie, but you've seen Bahubali, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's
the
guy.
Is he the main guy?
Yeah.
Okay, that's great.
Yeah.
I think it's actually a very unpopular opinion I have about Bahubali.
It is different from most people's opinion about Bahubali.
And it was really just one scene that like disgusted me so much I couldn't.
You couldn't do it.
Yeah.
That's fair. I've never seen it, so I don't know. But anyway. Other names of people in this movie are Disha Patani.
Oh!
Dulquer Salmaan.
Oh my gosh.
And Mrunal Thakur. So it's a pan-Indian film.
I love that.
And it looks like Dune, was my interpretation, which I've never seen or read in its entirety. I kind of assumed that this movie wasn't going to be good.
From
how much it looked very derivative of Dune. And other, like, kind of apocalypse-y type things like that. I mean, I don't even know if Dune is about an apocalypse. It just looks like a kind of world.
It is
that
not. It's just like a different planet.
Oh, okay. It's just covered in sand. All right, whatever.
Yeah. it's not Earth. They're not, on Earth.
Not. I knew that. I knew it wasn't Earth. I did start reading the book once. But it was too
boring. More than I did. I have not read any of it.
I'm not a huge sci-fi reader. I'm a sci-fi watcher, if I'm anything. Anyway, apparently it does seem like the movie is actually doing better than I was expected. It already has an 8 out of 10 on IMDb with like 20,000 reviews.
Okay,
which is pretty impressive for IMDb.
Yeah,
and I was reading through like comments on YouTube for the trailer, and it was a lot of people like, "Yeah, this is like." Our actors, this is our, you know,
that's great.
These are our mythologies that they're representing, even if it is like kind of not inspired by, but maybe a little bit derivative of some Hollywood stuff. So I was like, okay, that's cool. I can get down for that.
Yeah.
They're saying it's going to be like a whole cinematic universe, which is the thing that's starting to like bug me in all industries. Because I don't think you can say something's going to be a cinematic universe. Like, I think it has to kind of develop on its own.
Right. Like, Marvel didn't originally say, hey, this is the MCU. It was like, oh, God, we now have like 20 films. This is the MCU.
Right. Well, and yeah, and those films are also based on like decades worth of like character development.
Yeah,
that happened first.
That's all intertwined. And,
yeah. You have to have all this stuff that's happening like outside of the main plot for it to be like truly a cinematic universe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
But anyway, also India won the Cricket World Cup, which I thought happened last year. I think are there Cricket World Cups every year? I don't know.
I don't know.
But good job, India. I really only care because it makes me happy to see more content from Anushka's husband.
Yeah.
And there were some really cute like videos of him like talking on the phone with his family after they won, and Anushka posted something about how their daughter was like concerned that not everybody on the team was going to have someone to hug because they were all crying.
Oh.
It's like, well, that's the cutest thing I've ever heard.
So sweet. Oh, I love that family.
Yeah.
That's great.
Yeah. But that's it. That's my Bollywood / greater India news.
Those are nice things.
Yeah, I thought so.
I appreciate that.
Yeah.
Great. Pluggables. Follow us on Instagram and TikTok at Two White Girls Talk Bollywood. Do what you do there.
Please do.
Yeah. And also consider subscribing to us on whatever podcast platform you listen to us on. You can also generally leave a rating or a review, which we always appreciate.
Yep.
And as always, thank you so, so much for listening.
Indeed. And join us on YouTube and Spotify, where we keep our Bollywood bangers playlists and add our favorite songs from the movies we watch to those playlists. We link them in our episode descriptions as well as in our Instagram posts on Tuesdays.
Yes. Next, I personally feel like we need some lady energy again.
Always, yes.
Not a violent lady on lady right. energy.
Yeah.
But like a nicer lady on, like, women committing heists together. That sounds yeah. great.
That's the energy we're hoping for.
Yeah. So. So we'll be watching Crew.
Yay.
Yes. Oh, I'm excited.
Me too. Another fairly recent movie that became available on Netflix less recently, but we.
Feels recent to me.
It feels recent to us.
Like,
yeah,
in the last, like, 2 months, right?
Yeah, which is plenty recent. I don't know what I'm talking about. I'm looking forward to watching this one. I'm not sure that it's going to be, like, the ultimate beacon of feminism, but I sure looks like it's going to be fun. And
yeah.
it's got a lot of awesome ladies in it who I always love to see on screen.
Yeah. We've got Tabu. We've got Kareena Kapoor. And we've got our wonderful Kriti Sanon.
Kriti Sanon, who just feels like she's our friend.
I really do feel that way. Like I feel maybe more than any other. Like, she's approachable. Like, she's so gorgeous and amazing and talented and powerful and just, like, kind and amazing.
I feel, like, committed to her success and well-being in a way that I don't feel towards, like, really any other actor.
Yeah, because we saw her from the beginning.
We did, yes.
Yeah, and we've really seen her grow and develop, and it's incredible.
Yeah.
Anyway.
She's awesome. I can't wait to see her in this.
Well, I'm sure we'll talk a lot more about how much we love Kriti.
Yeah.
But do you have the IMDb?
I do. IMDb says that the movie follows three hardworking women as their destinies lead to some unwarranted situations, and they end up caught in a web of lies.
Yes.
Unwarranted is an interesting word there.
It is. I'm confused. Situations. I thought it was about a heist.
Yeah. Heists can be warranted. I don't know.
So yes, this is available to watch on Netflix. Okay, it is about a heist. And it says, in this heist comedy, three flight attendants become gold smugglers to save their bankrupt airline.
Oh, cool.
Right? And it's a short one. It's only 2 hours.
Wow, that is short.
Yeah. I love how our perspective has completely changed.
Completely changed, yeah.
I'm like, oh, 3.5 hours. Yep, that's fine.
That's reasonable. Yeah, I can do that. Just break it up into three sittings instead of just two.
Yeah, but like 2 hours is, whoa.
2 hours is one sitting.
Yeah, we're just going to fly through that.
Anyway, enjoy those 2 hours, all of you who are going to be watching. Or maybe have already watched Crew.
And until next time, remember, Bollywood doesn't need us.
No.
But we need Bollywood.
And Gully Rap.
And Gully Rap.
Because it's real cool.
Yes.
And fun Very to listen cool. to. Says this white lady.
And as we all know, white ladies' words should always be listened to.
All of this, I hope everyone could feel the sarcasm just oozing off those words.